was led to Golgotha on the outskirts of town. There nailed to a rugged cross as his mockers gathered round. The sky spoke like thunder when he finally bowed his head. He who had given life now hung there dead. Then his mom and some friends came to carry him away. They were trying to speak through a broken heart, but only tears could say. The sunset cast no shadow on the world's darkest day. And with one last look, they laid him in the grave. But I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive. I know because I talked to him today. Mary Magdalene came breathless to the place where Peter lay. He was searching through his broken heart, trying to find the faith to pray. But as he heard her joyful story, his sorrow could not stay, and his hope sprang out through the words he heard her say. She said, I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive. I know because I talked to him today. That on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive. I know because I talked to him today.
Thank you for that, Nicholas. All right. Did you get the handout? If you didn't get one, raise your hand and we can get one to you there. We are back in Proverbs. It's been what, a month? We've had some special things going on, speakers and so forth. And so we've been off of it. Back to Proverbs. We're continuing and should finish up tonight our look at the virtuous man. The virtuous man. Living holy, living morally in these days in which we live. You say, this is lesson number six. You say, why did you talk so long about this? If you don't see in our society that this is flavoring everything that we do, then you're, I don't know what you're hearing. I don't know what you're paying attention to. And by the way, because our society has been so flavored by immorality and sensuality, now it's switched to perversion. Okay, and we said it years ago, and it's the boy who cried wolf, homosexuality, that's the first step. We said crazier things are coming once they get their foot in the door, and everybody's like, oh, that's just preacher speak. It's here. It's not preacher speak. Okay, First, let's accept this lifestyle. Then we want marriage. As soon as they got marriage, what's the next thing? Transgenderism. Now it's beyond transgenderism. Now it's we want in your bathrooms and we want in your shower rooms. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you saw what our president did. He's mandating the public schools immediately open the restrooms and the showers. That's ridiculous. That's perverse. That's, let me think of a word. That's evil. Okay? That's bad. But you know what? Because our society has become so saturated with this garbage. The whole thing in North Carolina. PayPal, they didn't want to go to North Carolina because the governor upheld to keep the bathroom safe, praise the Lord. And by the way, PayPal's in countries, they won't tell you this, and by the way, the media won't either, but that's a story for another day. But PayPal's has headquarters in countries where homosexuality is illegal. But the media won't report on that. They're just whatever they want to say. Target, I don't shop at Target anymore. Okay? Now, as I've said, there may be a day in this country where every bathroom's open and we have no choice. We have to shop everywhere. We have to pick our battles. But right now, since it's not, we might want to target the one who's trying to take the lead. That's a pun. I didn't get that. Target the one who's trying to take the lead. Thank you. I'll be here all week, all right? But it's getting worse. And by the way, so we need to be very careful. By the way, this isn't a plug for our Christian school. That's why our Christian school is more vital than ever. By the way, we have several school teachers in our church. They're good people. They're doing the best they can. What's happening in the school system is not their fault. It's politicians and media out of control. But because of the perverseness we've allowed in our society. Say, do you hate these people? I don't hate people that are transgendered or homosexual. I think they have issues. I think they have reprobate minds because they've went so far, and I hope that they get help. But you know what? We're not supposed to give in to their demands, and it's sad. And by the way, I'm getting off, but we'll live. After the transgenderism thing, we lose that battle, which the way it's going, we're going to. That's why we need to pray. The Bible tells the New Testament, pray that we can live peaceably. Maybe if Christians prayed and stood up, we could. But I guarantee you, the next thing is they're coming after children. They're going to try to lower the age limit. And if you're adults, you know what I mean. Our children aren't safe. We need to take this thing. Anyhow, just thought I'd throw that out at you so we understand that. Let's do what we can to stand up and be right. Now, all that stuff is sinful and that stuff is wrong and it's evil. You're right. But what we're talking about is, too, adultery. We want to get up and yell and scream about homosexuality and all that. Adultery's wrong too. Okay, it's wrong. And so we got to be very careful. So here we go. Number 14. I say, man, 6 weeks, only 14 points. Some of them had sub points, so calm down. Bear with us. I wasn't just, driving around the block. Number 14. Don't fall for the bait. Fear the trap. Don't fall for the bait. Fear the trap. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 23, talking, and again, these are all talking about immorality. Tell a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Snare would be a trap to catch him. Proverbs 22, 14, the mouth of a strange woman. Class, who's a strange woman? Anyone who is not your wife. You say, I thought all women were strange. Don't say that out loud. Just believe it, okay? By the way, now some are stranger than others. Some are aggressive at it. You have to be very careful. But someone who's not your wife, be very careful. She's not your wife. You don't treat her with that kind of deference that you treat your own wife. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. And Proverbs 23, 27, 28. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait for a prey, and increaseth the transgression among the transgressors among men. The reason immorality is so prevalent, and really why it is such a temptation, particularly for men, is because that's that it's natural for a guy to want a girl. Guy wants, now you say, well, what about these guys that want guys? That's not natural. That's natural, but you have to put the word un in front of it. It's unnatural. So it's a heavy temptation. And so once, if we're not careful, as I've mentioned before, as you get close to it, your flesh gets involved, your desires get involved, and because you weren't careful, bad things can happen. Remember this, our sinful desires keep us from seeing the destructive setup. Like we mentioned, it happens in steps. But our desire, you say, well, shouldn't we be smart enough to see it coming? Yes. But our desires or our flesh, when it gets involved, sometimes causes us to override what should just be common sense to say, danger, danger, danger. That's why we must be careful. That's what the verses are talking about here. These pictures, they're picturing walking into a trap, okay? A trap is baited to draw you into it, and then once you're drawn in, you're caught. By the way, I didn't mention this. Mrs. Deborah Keogh, where are you at, Mrs. Deborah? Back there. They're back in town, and so make sure you go by and tell her hi, and we're glad to see her. But we are walking into a trap. You don't see the bait, and then you see the bait, whatever it is, you fall for it. Next thing you know, you're in the trap. Or he mentioned falling into a pit. You know, when they fall into a pit, if you ever used to watch the old cartoons, the one you could watch that you could understand. You know, there's a trap, there's a pit, and they put like a tarp and you walk and you fall into it, all right? You don't see it. There's something on top to mask it, and then you fall into a trap. And then also he talks about being caught by a predator. That's what immorality is. We fall for the bait, so we don't see what happens once we take the bait. Being caught in the trap is the immorality. The immorality in all reality is the last step. There's been a whole bunch of other ones in front of it, but it's masked by that which we would desire. How many good men have fallen? They've been taken down because they're not careful. I could sit here right now and just people I've known over the years who were pastors that fell into this sin. Why? They're not careful. You know, you start counseling some lady alone and you do it more than once or twice and then you feel sorry and emotions. Ladies, let me just tell you something. I'm not doing that. Okay? I'm not saying I won't counsel, but this ongoing and every week and we're together, that's garbage, okay? You talk to a lady, you'll get some help, God bless you, and that'll be fine, or we'll do something careful, but people get caught up in these little things, and they do ridiculous stuff. I could tell you, pastor after pastor, their family's ruined, their life ruined. People in the church are hurt because of what pastors have done. Remember that, what was a military leader? Was he a 5-star general? I forget his name. He had a weird name. He got caught in it. We had a president. I'm not even going to mention his name. You know who he is. I just hope that really he doesn't get to troll around the White House for the next 4 years with nothing to do. He shouldn't be back. He shouldn't even be allowed to visit the White House. Anyhow. By the way, and teachers. You hear this all the time. You know what's sad now in our society? You see these, you hear these stories, and lady teachers now are getting caught up this with younger students, preying on, it's just all kinds of garbage. We need to be very, very careful. The bait, the purpose of the bait is to keep us from seeing the trap. That's it. You ever try to catch a rodent? You put the best bait available out there so that, oh, look at the bait, and then snap, you got them. That's what the bait is. The bait's to keep them, to walk them into that which is going to ultimately hurt them. So it must be attractive, must appeal to our sight. By the way, so you say, not every lady's saved, but sometimes they're not dressed right. You got to look the other way. Be the man, okay? You have to be very, very careful. You say, yeah, but it's appealing. I know it's appealing. You're a man. That's a good thing you're a man, but it's not a good thing to stare. It must be desirable. The bait must be desirable. It appeals to our flesh. And it must be deceptive. It appeals to our pride. Oh, you know, I'll be okay. That's not a big deal. Must be very careful. That's how sin and temptation work. Look at the verse there in James. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Drawn away and enticed are both words they would have used in the sense of a trap. Putting bait on a trap or putting bait on a hook. Okay, we just came back. We did a little fishing. When you go fish, you bait the hook. Why? First of all, you want something that they're attracted to. And secondly, you don't want them to see the hook. Oh, bait good. No, frying pan bad. Okay, so they go for the bait. They get cooked. That's just the way it works. The same is true of immorality. It's a step. I think you have it on your paper. If we focus on the purpose of the trap, we will see past the appeal of the bait. Okay? Don't fall for it. Be very careful. Number 15. If you sin now, you will live with regret later. That would be probably one of the hardest things to live with. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. See, this is looking back after the action. And you know when you look back with regret. See, many a man, oh, you know, my wife's this and that, and we just struggle, and this lady's so much better. And then you get married, and you realize she's not so much better. Okay? You made a wrong mistake. And you look back. Now someone else is raising your children. Don't even get started on alimony payments. We had a guy who worked in the warehouse years ago at the beginning of the church, and there was this one guy. He was a nice guy, but he never smiled very much. He was just kind of real stoic. And he knew I was a Christian, and I don't know why he did it, but he knew I was a Christian. So we used to get paid on Thursday night, and one day he goes, hey, Steve, come here. And he goes, look at my check. And I saw that what they were taking out to give to his ex-wife was about half. And then he just said to me, he goes, now you know why I don't smile. Yeah, okay. Hey, there's a lot of pain there. But other than just the money, that's the selfish aspect. But you might realize, you know what? What I had was way better. Yeah. What I lost was I regret that. Don't live with regrets. Just be very, very careful now. Once the consequences play out, we start to realize everything we lost. But in the heat of the moment, because you weren't careful, you're not thinking about that. You're thinking about the here and now. You're not thinking about down the road and all the consequences. And by the way, consequences will be paid. Oh, the bill comes due. It comes due later. And because you don't realize that, you mess up now. But the bill will come due. Please. A history lesson can be very, very bitter pill to swallow. Someone has said the best history lesson we can learn is to learn by the mistakes of others. Okay. Number 16. How can we avoid immorality? Or how to avoid immorality? Look at the verses there in Proverbs chapter 7. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she, this is a picture of immorality, the strange woman, all that stuff. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs doesn't have a lot of good things to say about it. Have you noticed that? Are you catching the progression here? So here, how can we do it? He mentioned several things. A, guard your ears. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. See, we've heard about the power of the, we've seen about the power of the words of the strange woman, the verses there in Proverbs, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, with flattereth with her lips. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. By the way, she's just like all the other ones, and she's worse. Those sweet words, once you mess up, aren't going to be quite so sweet anymore. Well, you don't understand. The ladies who I work with, they talk nicer than my wife. I'm going to tell you why they talk nicer than your wife. They don't have to live with you. Okay? They don't have to be with you every single day. And by the way, when they go home from work, you know how they're talking to their husband? Okay? And by the way, it's part of life. We've got to deal with it. But everything's so sweet. Listen, let's be careful what we're listening to. You know, they just said nice things and it makes me feel well. You're going to get ill later. Be very, very careful. Then the talk starts to get a little bit out of line. No. Watch what you're listening to. Letter B, guard your heart. They said, let not thine heart decline to her ways. The word decline means to deviate toward, to turn aside to. See, now, as I've mentioned before, once your emotions get involved, your heart starts to deviate or starts to turn towards that direction. Slowly but surely, but it is still turning. Don't let it happen. Amen. Guard your heart. What's the song, Guard Your Heart? It's all throughout Proverbs. Put safeguards on there, by the way. One way you guard it is by putting up safeguards. Be very, very careful. You know, there's little things we blow through when we're going to get in trouble. If you're not going to be alone with a lady to do wrong things, you probably shouldn't be alone with her, period. Okay? If you don't want your heart to get connected, you probably shouldn't be sitting there having long conversations with another lady. If you're married, you'd be very, very careful about that. You don't need to do that. Well, you know, I'm just being friendly and all that stuff. Good. That's whatever. That's an excuse. And your emotions start to get involved. Proverbs 4:20, keep thy heart with all what? Diligence. You got to be careful. You got to work at it. It takes some effort. For out of it are the issues of life. You need to think of it this way. Everywhere you go in your life, there's landmines that could blow up your Christian life, that could blow up your marriage, that could blow up your family. We got to be very careful. We got to avoid those. And once our heart gets involved, it's over. See, the reason we have a lot of bad marriages is because the whole courting process in our society is wrong. You know, it's all based on the physical and the emotional up front, right? No one waits for marriage anymore. Oh, she's cute, all this, and wow, she makes me feel good. And they're doing things married couples only should be doing. And they're all in on that. And then when they get married, they realize the spiritual and the mental aspect, they have nothing in common. All they had in common is he was handsome or she was cute and we like being with each other and there's an emotional bond. But all the other stuff that is really should be first is thrown on at the back end and you realize we have nothing in common. You know how many children you each want to have. I don't want to have any. Well, I want to have five. You can't even set up the guidelines in the house because she has one philosophy, he has another. Oh, but she's beautiful, and we're all emotional, and we love being with each other. That's going to die fast. See, God's way is the difference. You get to know each other spiritually. Once, hey, we both love God, we're both going the same direction spiritually. And then mentally, wow, we have the same goals, and we have the same foundation in mind. And that other stuff, then emotions. And then you get married, and then the physical. But we flipped it in our society. Guard your heart, okay? Letter C. Guard your path. Go not astray in her paths. Once you start going down the road, you're on the road down the wrong path. Here's a couple paths that you should commit to. I will be pure until I'm married. Okay? You say, oh, I plan on being pure when I get married. But it's just okay to hold hands and hug and do that stuff. You're not going to be pure when you get married. Yeah. I think I mentioned this early, but let me just throw this in here so just to make sure you got it. Guys don't work that way. No, but you don't understand. The guy I'm dating, he says he's like that. He's one of two things. He's either a liar. Okay, if he's not gay. He's either a liar or number two, he's a liar. One of those two. that doesn't work good. Well, you know, all we're going to do is hold hands until we get married, before we get married. Okay. That's what you think, but after holding hands, he's like, I need more. Yeah. A little quick hug, you know, arm around each other. He needs more. It's more. You say, well, you think we should? Yeah, I do. Don't touch. Okay? Just be careful. Look, after you get married, touch. Before you get married, don't touch. You know, I joke around. My wife and I will be out for a date or something. You drive and you see people in a car next to you at a red light and they're kissing. I'm like, a good dose of marriage will stop that. Okay? Because in our society, everybody, they all touch them before they get married. And once they get married, they ain't touching no more. Touch! If you're got, look, got a ring on your finger? He has one. Touch! That's how it works. Okay. I will be pure until I'm married. That's one commitment. The other one is, we'll save some of this other stuff for the couples retreat. Once I'm married, I will be faithful to my spouse. Okay, touch her, don't touch anybody else. There's children here, we'll be good. Letter D, guard your health. What does it mean? For she hath cast down many what? Oh, it's in the verses. I have it on here for me, but it's in yours. Look at my notes. What's wrong with you guys? She hath cast down many, the word there is, wounded. Who do the lions always attack? The slowest ones. By the way, if you're an animal and you live in Africa and you're one of the prey and you're wounded, you might as well cash in your life insurance policy. You're done. That they're after you first. Wounded. Okay? Let's stay strong. Spiritually, let's stay strong. Wounded people are more easily vulnerable to temptation. You know, you get in a fight with your spouse, you do this, and you think of some friend. By the way, I'll throw this one out too. Guys and girls should not be friends. You all hate each other. Just kidding. You know, no, that, but she's my best friend. That's not very bright. He's my best friend, and you're a she. What happens is you get in a little fight, and you go talk to them, and then there's that emotional thing that gets, no, they're not your best friend. Go talk to, if you're a lady, go talk to another lady. If you're a guy, suck it up and deal with it. That's life. Go talk to another guy, all right? Come on. Let's be careful. Guard your health. Check your spiritual temperature. How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer time? How's your church attendance? How's your giving? Say, why do you mention that? I don't know. It just always ends up in the outline. The reason I mention giving, because that's if you're a giver and then you stop, that's usually the first indication you're going down, just to throw that out at you. If you're new and you haven't got there yet, come on. Come aboard. God wants to bless you. But what happens is that's usually one of the first things to go, and then the others start falling up in line. Okay? It doesn't mean if you quit tithing, you're going to be immoral, but you're headed down the wrong path. You start quitting your Bible. You find excuses not to be at church. We talked about that Sunday night, right? We can stay excited about church. You know, we were serving. We quit serving. We don't want to fellowship anymore. You know, we have something against somebody in the church. By the way, that's a bad place to be. We're a family. Let's work that out, and let's have nothing against each other. Satan always looks for that one. 1 Peter 5:8. But be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's not. The lion doesn't say, look, there's a whole herd of wildebeests. Let me go get one. I'll just run right in the middle and I'll pick one out. Not going to happen. They look for the straggler. Look for the one at the end. Now, just so you understand how strong immorality is, letter E, guard your life. It says, yea, so it goes out to the wounded, but it also says, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Now, when you're wounded, the process is a little easier, isn't it? But many good, strong men have been caught. Why? Were they wounded? No. What happened? They weren't careful. When we're not careful, we can get ourselves in much trouble. Look at the Bible characters. Think about so many that fell into this. Think of Solomon. Say, oh, Solomon, he wrote this stuff. I know. But you know what happened at the end of his life because he violated some of the very things that God had him right? What happened? Solomon went bad. And you know what his problem was? Females. Yep. Ladies. Okay? He had all these ladies. He was not careful. Samson. Now, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to say anything to Samson's face. Okay? But if he was here, I definitely wouldn't say anything to his face except, good evening, Mr. Samson. Thank you for being here. Samson was a one-man wrecking crew.
Yes, he was.
He didn't have an army. Gideon, he had an army. All the other judges that fought in the book of Judges, they had armies. Samson's like, I ain't got time for that. He throwing that up. But Samson just said, I'll go take 3,000-4,000 myself. Not a big deal. I got it. But you know what? He couldn't stand up to a little women.
Yeah.
That was his weakness. And it cost him. Strong man. Reuben. Say, who's Reuben? One of the 12 sons. What did he do? Anybody know? He had an affair with one of his father's wives. That's why in Genesis, Reuben, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Really? Yep. Judah. What did Judah do? Daughter-in-law. He was immoral with his daughter-in-law. I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. So maybe we should take this seriously and be very careful.
Amen.
Then letter F, guard your future. Guard your future. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That doesn't sound good. The key word in all of this is the word guard. Okay? 17. Cultivate and maintain a love affair with your spouse. Now that right there will help. That right there will solve it. Okay? Look, after you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, you're not going to go somewhere else and eat right afterwards. You're full, right? If you have a great relationship with your wife and you're being careful, you're not going to mess up. You got to stay in love with her. Say, well, does she have to stay in love with me? No, that's optional for her. But you need to stay in love with her. Yeah, this seems like women are a lot more, you just deal with us a lot better. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. Trust me. Look at the verses. And at the end of the verse, if you want to read it on your own, go ahead. I didn't put all the words in there. I'm trying to be sensitive to the children here, okay? Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 and on. Drink waters of thine own cistern. In other words, drink your own water. Don't go take his water. And running waters out of thine own well. Immorality is, I'll go over there and drink out of his well. No, you got your own well, cowboy. Okay? Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let thine be only thine, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountains be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You should be with the wife of your youth if you're doing it right. And then verse 19, you can look at the rest of the verse later if you're an adult. Be thou ravished always with her love. You ought to say, man, I love that woman. Okay? And I love her. I don't need anybody else. That's the best way. By the way, that's why you got married in the first place, because you loved her. And she loved you. And you wanted to be together, and you just couldn't wait to be together. Got some of those couples around here. Their wedding day's fast approaching. The day of their execution is at hand. Okay? Man, they can't wait to be together, and that person is perfect. Well, of course they're perfect now. You don't live with them. Wait till you live with them, amen? And everything's wonderful, and we're so in love. Listen, then you get hit right square in the face with life. Right? I would have children. You're going to have them, all right. By the way, I love children, but come on. There's schedules change. Things change. Life gets busy. You have bills to pay. And if you're not careful, that stuff starts to push the love away. If you're going to stay in love, you have to purposely stay in love. Got to work at it. That's the best way. You say, well, I really want somebody. God gave you the person to meet your needs. They're called spouse.
Yeah.
They're called wife. They're called husband. There's a closeness that spouses have with each other that they cannot and should not ever have with any other human being. Period.
Amen.
Period. That's how God's designed it. You got to keep that relationship. How do you do that? Stay in love with each other. Love's is not a feeling, it's a choice. Because I'll tell you something. You're not going to feel like it sometimes. Thank you for leaving me hanging out there. I appreciate that. Now I'll be sleeping on the couch. My wife's going to say, nobody said amen. Why'd you say that? I'm like, I have no idea. I say a lot of stuff up here I probably shouldn't say. Okay? Well, come on. There's times you just don't, I'm not feeling it. Okay, I'm not feeling it either. But I made a commitment, and I love that woman, and she loves me, and so that's how it works.
Amen.
Stay committed.
By
the way, now that's the foundation and that's the string there, but that shouldn't be everything though. The other stuff you can have. Okay? Have a weekly date night together. Like pick a day, Wednesday. She goes out with whoever she wants to go out, you go out with whoever you want to go out. Date night. Just kidding. Date each other. Oh, you couldn't wait to be alone with her before you got married, and now you never go out together. We say that so many times behind this pulpit and have for many, many, many years, and still many couples don't do that. You have to do that. That is vital. Well, I'm tired at the end of the day. La-dee-da. Okay? I'll tell you what will get you tired. Divorce court.
Yeah,
that gets really tired. Okay? Go out. Listen, we're going out every week and put everything aside and enjoy being with each other. Say, okay, here we go, honey. McDonald's, we're coming. No. Make sure that you keep your marriage over your children. Okay? I love children. We got a bunch. I love grandkids. We got a bunch. But that relationship with my wife and I is more important than them. Okay? By the way, just throw this in. You ought to go to the yearly couples retreat. Well, she don't want to go. Bingo. Bingo, you need to go. That's why she doesn't want to go. Do nice things for each other.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she likes dead vegetation. Then buy it for her. Get those flowers every now and then. You know, whatever she's into. She likes rock music. Get the best albums. Just kidding. You know, she likes, whatever it is she likes. Every now and then, don't do it all, don't do it all the time. But every now and then, hey, I was thinking about you. I saw this and I know you like it. Here it is. Wow. And don't just wait until you've been fighting.
Come on.
You know, hey, wait a minute. I notice every time we fight, I get something. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, you like to text all your friends and you got 7,000 texts every month. How about a little text every now and then in the morning? Hey, just thinking about you. Love you. Hope you have a good day. Now, you won't hear this because you're texting, but there'll be like a thud. That's her falling on the floor, okay? Because you don't do that. Just do that. Do nice things. Find times to be with each other. No, she's going to Costco. Go with her. Why? They have some really good samples. You could get full on the samples alone. I'm telling you. You know, it's like, hey, I want that. I'll get in line with all these other people to get a piece of stale bread with some kind of sauce on it. And listen, that little pizza bread guy that's always out there, that stuff's good. And little Jose's coffee in the little cups, just go by four times and you might actually get enough to do something. You say, well, there wasn't many samples today. Those hot dogs they sell are great, and they come with a drink. Anyhow. And I'll say this. Take a day or two a year, at least once or twice, where you just have a day together taking, not vacation, you take vacation, all that, where it's like, today, we're just going out today. What are you going to do? I don't know, because you haven't been talking to each other. You just go out. We're going to go to this. Let her go to the mall. And while she walks around, looks at the stuff you're not going to let her buy, you hit the Cinnabon place because that stuff's good. And you see, what goes good with Cinnabon? That lemonade from hot dog on a stick. That stuff is good. Now, don't eat the hot dog on the stick. Eat the stick. That has more nutrition than the hot dog. But the lemonade's great. Don't tell her that's why you're going either. Yeah, I'll go to Costco. I need a hot dog. Don't tell her that. Just say, you know, dear, I want to be with you. You know, you're my wife. I'll go shopping with you, of course. Then it's like, all right, I'm going to get a hot dog at the courtyard. And then number 18, and we're done. Realize that God sees everything. You see the Proverbs there. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. Huh. And he pondereth all his goings. You see the verses there, but we won't mention it. When David committed this sin with Bathsheba, the whole chapter lays out the story and all the scheming and all the nonsense. At the very end, it says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. It's like, all of a sudden, God's got to get his 2 cents in, which he should. It's like, oh, by the way, we didn't tell you this story to give you a game plan. We're telling you this displeased God. Why? God's mentioned that chapter right there. He saw it. God sees everything that we do. Okay, we're done with that, and we'll move on to the next subject next time. Thanks for staying with us. Let's pray.